No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this first day of June. Hope you had a pleasant Memorial Day weekend. Monday was the scheduled end of the biennial Texas legislative session. And if you happened to be at the state capitol building yesterday, you'd be forgiven for thinking that lawmakers wrapped up their business in the 140 days allotted. There were lawmakers and their families posing for the rituals of photographs, the rush of last-minute fixes to the inevitable technical errors in past bills, and the formal recognition of capital staff. You know, the end of session loose ends before the gavel falls. But that was the stuff above the surface. Bubbling under were tensions between Republicans and Democrats, both sides acknowledging they'll be coming back to the Capitol for at least one round of overtime work, and a Twitter threat from the governor to deny pay for lawmakers over unfinished business. Just hours before adjournment, there was high drama in the Texas House, as Democrats staged a walkout, a last-minute effort to derail a controversial bill that would severely tighten state election laws, one of the governor's top priorities. Here to tell us what happened and to look back on what got done and what didn't over the past 140 days, Madeline Meckleberg of the Austin American Statesman and Jeremy Wallace of the Houston Chronicle and San Antonio Express News. Welcome to you both.
Oh, great to be here.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
Madeline, let's begin with you. Tell us a little bit about what happened late Sunday night. I described it as high drama. This had to do with Senate Bill 7, the bill that would severely restrict election processes in the state.
That's exactly right. And you mentioned that there was heightened tension between Republicans and Democrats, but I think even more tension was bubbling under the surface between the House as a whole and the Senate as a whole, largely over the passage of this bill. Senate leadership, including Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, said the House was taking too long to get this bill to the floor to get it passed. They ended up voting on it after 8 hours of debate in the middle of the night, passing it at 6 a.m. But on Sunday night in the House, the very last day that they could have passed any bills out of the House, House Democrats staged a walkout ahead of the midnight deadline to break quorum on the House floor, which made it impossible for them to hold a vote on this election bill.
This isn't the first time this sort of thing has happened to derail, I suppose, usual parliamentary procedure. I mean, once upon a time, there was a walkout in which lawmakers went to Oklahoma and took up residence at a hotel. I think a lot of us remember that many, many years ago. I want to bring you in, Jeremy. Why the walkout? Had they run out of parliamentary procedures to stop Senate Bill 7? Was that the idea?
Well, yes, to some degree. The biggest thing that happened was, as we were talking about on Saturday, this is when really things started to kind of move, go in motion of this. And what I mean by that is that was when there was a 20-page additional bill essentially added to the election bill in the dead of night, essentially, that caught a lot of Democrats off guard. And one of the biggest things that had in there that hadn't been discussed at all was an ability for the state to overturn elections easier if there's even the hint of fraud. Maybe even more troubling for a lot of Democrats was that all of a sudden they were going to cut the hours on Sunday in which you can do early voting. That was a direct assault, according to State Senator Royce West from Dallas, a Democrat. He said that was an attack on souls to the polls. And it was clear the intent of the Republicans was to just really jam a bill that was just absolutely impossible for Democrats to accept. And that's when the negotiations started to change from, hey, we'll try to work with you on this bill, to we're going to have to do something extreme to respond to what's extreme coming from the Republicans right now.
Governor's none too happy about the walkout and what happened here in the 11th hour. In fact, he was issuing Twitter threats, as I understand it. Madeline, is that right?
That's right. Abbott took to Twitter after the Democrats decided to walk out of the chamber, and he tweeted this very dramatic statement. He says, "No pay for those who abandon their responsibilities," and he's threatened to veto the article of the budget that funds the legislative branch. The governor has line item veto power when it comes to the massive budget that lawmakers pass each time they come to the Capitol for the regular session. And Article 10 includes salaries for lawmakers. They're nothing to write home about. They get about $600 a month. But it also includes funding for a lot of support agencies for the legislature, including the Budget Board, the Sunset Advisory Commission. And so a lot of lawmakers kind of bristled at this threat from the governor and said, you know, you're going to make a monarchy if you get rid of this one arm of the legislature. We haven't seen that veto happen yet, but that's definitely a threat that's going to be looming as we move forward. But he also has threatened, maybe not a threat, he said that he's definitely going to bring lawmakers back for a special session in order to address this elections bill and some of the other priorities that didn't make it.
We already knew, though, that lawmakers were going to be returning in the fall, though, Jeremy, right? I mean, there's still the issue of redistricting to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, typically in a session like this one, they would have been doing the redistricting following the U.S. Census data to make sure all congressional districts and legislative districts are relatively equal. But that census data never got here. It hasn't gotten here yet still. They still won't have this data probably until August, it sounds like. Now, the question is, does Governor Abbott, you know, force them to come back sooner than that, or does he just try to tack it on to what they do in the fall? One of the things to look for is he's not going to want them back in town for a little bit because there's a lot of bills that he's going to be signing and vetoing. And if they come back too early within the window in which they could override him, he's not going to want that to happen. And so I suspect we're looking at least 15 to 20 days before he would really want these guys back in, you know, Austin with a potential threat to override anything he tries to veto.
We just have a few minutes left, and there's a lot to talk about when it comes to what was passed and what wasn't in the course of the 140 days of this session. Madeline, what would you consider to be the headlines coming out of those 140 days? Give me three that you think people will be talking a lot about.
Sure. I think number one has to be the response to the power outages in February. There was a lot of focus on lawmakers and what they would actually do to respond to those outages. They passed some bills requiring weatherization at power generation facilities. They passed some bills trying to finance that, but lawmakers weren't satisfied with the final compromise there. So that's another thing we could expect them to talk about if they come back for a special. I think another headline has to be what lawmakers did on abortion. We saw them pass one of the strictest abortion laws the state has ever seen, and certainly the country has ever seen. It essentially bans all abortion by prohibiting the procedure once a fetal heartbeat can be detected. Abbott signed that into law immediately once it made it through all of the necessary legislative hurdles. And I think finally, one of the most significant things we saw was a response to some of the actions we've seen in Austin, specifically when it comes to this movement to so-called defund the police, and also on camping in public places. Mm-hmm. We saw lawmakers pass a ban on that camping, and we saw them pass bills to penalize local governments that look to move funds away from their police departments.
Jeremy, let's turn to you. Give us three headlines as you see it coming out of this 140-day session.
Well, I would say guns, guns, and guns. One of the biggest things that I think we all saw was constitutional carry or permitless carry has now passed and is becoming law in the state of Texas. That means anybody over the age of 21 will be able to carry a handgun without any, you know, permitting. And unless they have a criminal record, those folks will have a different, you know, set of hurdles still. But, you know, now Texas will allow anybody to carry a gun. No safety requirements, no training. You just get that gun. And they say that's a part of their constitutional right. And conservatives say this was such a big priority of this for years, and it kept dying year after year after year. But this time they got it through.
Jeremy, what happened to that bill that would revoke physicians' medical licenses for providing gender-affirming medical care?
Well, it joined two other bills aimed at transgender children that ended up failing. Ultimately, in the end, the Senate pushed a lot of these bills over onto the House, but the House just never got to the finish line with them. That includes not only that bill, but also one that would have made it child abuse for a parent to help their children get hormone therapy and other procedures as they transition. Another one would have prevented girls or transgender girls from playing on girls' sports teams. That bill was a huge priority for Senate Republicans, but the House just wouldn't go there. And so all three of those bills, ended up failing. Kind of a replay of 2017 when we had the original bathroom bill, as a lot of listeners will remember. That bill never made it either. And here we are again. Once again, Republicans pushed this, but it was just one bridge too far.
This is not the end of the story for this legislative session, because as we were talking about earlier, we're probably going into overtime here, and you can bet that Madeleine Mecklenburg and Jeremy Wallace will be tracking developments there at the Capitol. Madeleine's with the Austin American Statesman, Jeremy's political reporter for the Houston Chronicle and San Antonio Express News. Thanks so much for taking time to talk with us on The Standard.
Thanks for having me, David.